Colossians chapter 3. Colossae is modern-day Turkey. So when you see the word Colossians or Colossae place, it is the contemporary place known as Turkey. I want to read a couple of verses in addition to what Pastor has already read. I want to pick up in the 21st verse for this evening, and then I'll go back, God be willing, and the Spirit leads, do a little exposition. Colossians 1 and 21. And you who once were estranged and hostile in mind and doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy, blameless, and irreproachable before him. Provided that you continue in the faith, stable, steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which has been preached to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. I want to talk from the subject, a pre-existing condition. A pre-existing condition. Where do you find that, Pastor? Verse 21, and you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. A pre-existing condition. Most of you already know that that's not original. If you know anything about insurance and insurability, you know that if you have a pre-existing medical condition, your premiums are higher. Is that right? If you need a different carrier, they will insist upon an examination. And if you are healthy, real healthy, and you haven't had any kind of previous ailments physiologically, then your premiums will be based upon your age and weight, and all of the other things that they associate with your particular age and the susceptibility to the things that you are susceptible to because of your age and your weight and your gender, and the whole bucket load of stuff. So it's saying that if you have something that is existing prior to the need of coverage, it costs you more. Are you with me that far? If you drive a car and you have had the propensity to go a little bit past the speed limit and get caught, when you get ready to get your next 6 month or next payment on your insurance, you know that your insurance will go up. Or if you apply for insurance, your insurance will go up because you have, according to your insurer, a propensity not to honor the law. And if you choose not to honor the law, then you have that right, but you also will pay a little bit more in your monthly payments because you have a pre-existing condition. Everyone who has lived or will live or is living has a pre-existing condition that God is aware of. And that condition is, and I probably shouldn't use this word until Thursday night, is sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If anyone says he or she has not or never has sinned, the truth is not in them. And so when we approach God in all of our sanctimonious holy ways, we all approach God with a pre-existing condition. That's why I can't look at you with my nose in the air or point a finger at you of what you've done, what you're doing. You know, when we're good at accusations, I know you. I remember when. You know how church folk, especially church folk, can sometimes be a bit judgmental and harsh in regards to having tolerance for other church folk who has a different weakness from yours. But at the end of the day, regardless of what your condition is, whether you have a propensity and a desire for a little bit of gossip, you know, you ain't doing nothing, but you just like to hear about what other folk are doing. Come on, y'all. You know, you're not going to say nothing, but when you, have you heard? Huh? Heard what? And you turn that good ear, and we all have one ear that's better than the other at hearing. And you say, what did you say? No, you didn't. That can't be. Whether you have a desire to hear about the failings or the weaknesses of others, or whether you like telling them, and sometimes not always tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Sometimes we can embellish a small story and make it a large story, and because there is something about us that we like to hear the failings of others. But you must always remember that while you're listening about the failures of others, each of us has our own failings. Every one of us sitting here tonight had and has a pre-existing condition. Shouldn't be calling you out like that tonight. But I said everyone, including myself and Pastor. I know that you think that we're angels and perfect, but we are. Amen. Paul writes to these Christians at Colossae, Turkey. This writing can be as early as 56 A.D., approximately 23 years after the death, maybe 30 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of our Christ. If it's 56, he's writing from Caesarea. It can be as late as 60 A.D., and if he's writing from 60 A.D., he's writing from Rome. Rome, Custodia Libra. He is a prisoner. He is imprisoned at Rome. He's imprisoned because of his faith. He has not visited these Christians at Colossae, but he has heard about them. And if you just walk, and I'm going to walk through this, but he's heard about their faith. And so now he writes them this letter because not only has he heard about their faith, but he's also heard that there are those that have infiltrated this group of maybe five, six families, Gentile Christians, that there are those that have infiltrated them with some false synchronistic teachings. There were those that were telling them that you can love Jesus, but you've got to do something else. Talk plain, Pastor. Even now, there are those that will say, you can accept Jesus, but you got to do this. We can take our own rathers and preferences and attach them to the faith and put a yoke around people's neck that the Lord didn't even put around there. Are you listening?
So here now, Paul is writing a beautiful letter. This initial greeting, verses 1 and 2, and then a thanksgiving. Letters are to be read. And if you read Paul, you have to read it not just once. Have you received a letter lately? When is the last time you received a handwritten letter? Has it been that long? Brothers, I'm going to help you out. If you will write that significant other a letter, you won't have to buy as many cards. You won't have to buy as much candy. You won't have to buy flowers. You won't have to buy diamonds and all that other stuff. If you would just send her a handwritten letter, I'm trying to help somebody. Go and get some good stationery. Don't get a legal pad. No yellow legal pad. You go get a nice box of stationery. And get a nice pen. I still like to use a fountain pen. And sit down and take about an hour and just sit down and just write to her from your heart. Don't quote nobody. Just from your heart. Darling, I love you so much that even when you sleep, I just watch you inhaling and exhaling, and it brings joy to my life. Bruh, if you just write something like that, you won't have to. Just try it. Now, if it don't work, have some candy in the trunk of the car, and if it don't work. Letters are to be read, and sometimes when you read a letter, and one of the joys I have, Dr. Jackson, I still have some letters that my mother wrote me when I was in college. And I still, when I miss my mama, I can go back and get one of those letters, and I still say, "Mama, dear son," and one little page, and enclosed $7, and that was for the month. Amen. When we were in college, and I thought I had money, $7 for the month, and know that your father and mother's working hard, and we're proud. Da 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 da. Letters are to be read. Paul writes this letter to the Christians at Colossae to be read. And he starts off with a greeting and then a thank you. Every now and again, we just need to thank people for the good that they do. In the worst of us, there's some good. And sometimes we spend so much time in pointing up the negatives of others that we never take the time to say thank you for being you. After that greeting, then he gives this prayer. Verses 9 through 14 is a beautiful prayer. And again, he thanks God for them. He thanks God for their faith. He thanks God for their outreach. Then in verses 15 through 17, Paul lifts up one of the problems that the Christians at Colossae are having. One of the things that's happening in this community is that there are those who are spreading doctrine, dogma, teachings that are different from the teachings that Paul taught about Christ. One of the words that they talked about was Gnosticism or kenosis, knowledge. There were those that were saying to the Christians at Colossae, now it's all right to say Jesus is Lord, but you've got to have head knowledge more so than heart, that you've got to have an intellectual experience with the Lord. You know, and there are those that'll say that even now, that, you know, you don't need all that noise to worship the Lord, that God is an intelligent God, and that you ought to be able to just come and in the serenity of his holiness, you ought to be able to have a quiet brain, cerebral experience in church. And it bothers me that when the church makes all of that noise, and I didn't come for all of that noise. You know, that's amazing to me. That there are those even now that want to have that kind of cerebral experience, and it's all right to have it. But the same folk that will say that I don't need or make all that noise, you can give that same crowd a Bud Light and they'll holler all over the place. Give you a Bud and God forbid you get a little weed. It is weed, isn't it?
life of the party. But you come to church and then you get an attitude. But you know, if somebody can get happy over a bud and grin over a weed, don't you know that when you gather as God's children, all that is done for you, that you ought to be able to give him a little praise? There was a crowd that was talking about knowledge and kenosis, and that they were telling these Christians at Colossae, don't make all that noise. And there were those aesthetics that would retreat, and they would just, they didn't believe in anything material. They wouldn't even sleep on a pillow. They would sleep on a rock or a log because they wanted to suffer for Christ. Then there were those naturalists. I'm just picking up quickly. There were those naturalists that wanted to be in harmony with everything. They were in such harmony with the world that they wouldn't even kill a roach. If they saw a roach in their house, they would look and say, oh, creature of God. I'm so happy that you chose my house. You're welcomed here. There's still crumbs on the counter and crumbs on the floor. And I'm going to cut the light off. And when I cut the light off, enjoy yourself. Very obvious, that's not where you are. Because if some of us here, Roach... But there were those naturalists that were so in tune that they wouldn't even kill a fly or a roach. And they were saying that you had to do this in order to be a Christian. Paul comes back, verses 15 through 17, and says, now I want you to understand something. All that may have its place. But he talked about the preeminence of Christ and says that before there was knowledge, there was a God. Before there were angels or a stratosphere, there was a God that made himself, who was invisible, visible in the person of Christ. And Paul would say that before there was evolution or Darwinism, that you've got to deal with the fact that God was before everything in Christ. And that if you want to worship the stars, before the stars were, Christ was. And he argues that Christ is preeminent, that you've got to put Christ before and above everything in your life. You can't just say he is a Lord like other lords. He is Lord of lords. Not just a king like king, but King of kings. Paul said you've got to get your priorities straight. Because you're living with a pre-existing condition and you need some help. Now you can call on roaches and stars and moon and claim knowledge, but they cannot deal with your pre-existing condition. He said, only one can do that. And he called him Lord. Second thing in this text, I'm working towards that. He says, you need to understand that not only is he Lord of the universe, mediator of creation, reconciler of the world, but he's head of the church. Mm-mm. I heard pastor say it and confirmation in my spirit, because one of the things that's happening in the 21st century, people don't like to use the name church. I don't know about here, but in North Carolina and in Charlotte, they've got this thing that we have ministry. They don't even talk church. But as I read this text, it says he's head of church. Now, if you're doing ministry, you can do ministry and not be church. Social service does ministry. You can get ministry for Medicare, Medicaid. Ministry just means service. But Christ said church. Now, the church is ministry. No. Say that another way, Pastor. That if you have church, you will do ministry. But if you just do ministry and don't have church, you're just busy. fry all the chicken and make all the pies and give away your best clothes. But if you don't know Jesus, you're in trouble. He said clearly, upon this rock, I will build my church. But there's a growing challenge that people don't want to use the word church in the 21st century. And I cringe because I see some of this stuff. And you have, and I thank God for the theological statement of your buildings. I see churches and they don't have a cross in them anymore. Taking a communion table out and windows that have a statement and aesthetics. Baptistry and those kind of things, they don't have that. They just want some chairs and a crowd for about 90 minutes. And that's all they want. And then collect $3 or $4 and then wait for the next crowd. You've got to be very careful with that. And some of the stuff that they're saying, you need to listen between the lines. And I'm not fighting anything or anybody. And I've got a 12-year-old and she's trying to teach me how to say the word hating. And I said, how do you spell that? She says, H-A-E-N. And that's what the young folk call hating. And I said, Daddy, don't say it because you always get it wrong. And I ain't hating nobody. But I get concerned because I see seasoned folk running after stuff that's not godly and that's not Christian. It sounds good, it looks good, and there may be a crowd, but you've got to look at the doctrine. You've got to look at the teachings, and you're not called to worship an individual. I see a lot of cult worship. You know, Reverend Jackson, and I'll stop in about 6 or 7 minutes. I was at another service, and a young man came up, and I've known him since he was a boy, and I'm not even sure he finished college, and he introduced himself as Bishop. He said, I'm Bishop so-and-so. I said, you what? He said, I'm, with all the pomp that goes with it, I'm Bishop so-and-so. I said, you are Bishop, son? Yes, I'm Bishop so-and-so. I said, okay, son, good to see you. Bless God, his brother comes in at this. It was at a funeral. And he has on this high Anglican attire. High Anglican. High Anglican. He just didn't have on no preacher robe. And he wasn't even preaching. Had on high Anglican church. Not Baptist, not Methodist. No, I said Anglican. And he walks in and he introduces himself, and I've known him since he was a boy, as Apostle. I said, what are you, son? He says, I am Apostle. And he gave his last name. I said, you is an apostle? Well, you know, let me get my grammar correct because some of y'all may not know me. I said, you are an apostle, son? He said, yes, I'm apostle. And again, I'm not even sure he finished high school or college. You've got to be careful of running after titles. Because I hear the word calling us servants. When the day is done and life is no more, they're not going to call you doctor, bishop, elder, reverend, pastor. The word says you'll say servant. Well done. Be careful when. Don't apologize for being in a church. Because that's where Christ is the head of the church. Christ has built the church. And it was at the church where I was blessed and dedicated. It was at the church where I confessed Jesus as Lord. It was at the church where I was baptized in water. It was at the church where I communed with the saints and the Holy Spirit. And it will be at the church where they will take me for the last time. Don't apologize for being a part of the church. Because you've got a pre-existing condition. And the only place that can deal with it is the church. You can go to emergency and MR all you want. They can't deal with your pre-existing condition. They may be able to replace your knee and your hip. But they cannot give you what you need in order to be saved. Paul walks through this. And I'm at my text now. Thank you for being patient. Paul walks with these Christians. But then remember I said a letter is to be read. And when you look at the 21st verse, I'm going to come back to now. It seems like this is out of place. After all of those embellishments. Now he comes back in that verse, 21st verse, and says, and you who were once estranged and hostile in mind and doing evil deeds. Why is he throwing that up in our face? He just told me that Jesus is Lord. He just articulated clearly that before anything was, Jesus was. But now he comes back and throws up in this letter what I used to be. Every now and again, you've got to have a memory recall of where you were to appreciate where you are. Because sometimes the saints of God can forget from where the Lord hath brought us. Are you listening? Look what he says. That before, at one time, you were once separated from God and hostile in your minds. That means that there were some thoughts going on that only you and the Lord knew. Talk plain, Pastor. That we can front it on the outside. But that's why you have to have an x-ray, because you may look good from the outside, but the x-ray will reveal what the outside doesn't show. You may look healthy from the outside, but you can't see your cholesterol from the outside. You can't see your blood pressure from the outside. It takes an x-ray to see what's going on the inside. God, every now and again, make sure that Christians have an x-ray. And once. And you have to say, well, why is he saying that to me? And as some of you are saying now, why is he preaching something like that in revival? I want him to hoop it up. And I guess I better hoop it up a little bit because y'all haven't given the offering yet. Are you listening? I've been around us a little while. I understand. He clearly says that we had a pre-existing condition. But there was something about God. Look at Colossians 1 and 21. That now that we have been reconciled. 1:13 and 14. All of this is Colossians. That he says that God has done something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. He delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Help me, Holy Ghost. That I had a condition. But there was somebody that recognized the condition that I had and provided everything that I needed in Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said on another occasion, for there is no other name under heaven by which a person shall be saved other than the name of Jesus. Are you listening? She's saying to us tonight that regardless to what you may have done, whether it's been a little weed or whether it's been something else, that there is something about God in Christ. That he looked beyond the faults. No, he looked at the faults that we all had and provided the same cure for all of our faults. There's only one way to deal with sin. That's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Redemption means to be brought back into a right relationship with God. How can I be in relationship with God? I've got to accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I talk like this because I found out that in the church where I serve, that there have been people in that church for years but didn't know the Lord. Help me, Holy Ghost. They were in regular attendance, but they didn't know the Lord as personal. Good members, yes. Good Baptists, yes. But did not know that they had to ask God to forgive them of their sins. Had attitudes and had actions that weren't pleasing to God. And I'm here to tell you tonight that there is a God in Christ Jesus that regardless of what you've done or who you are, that if you will trust God with your life, he will forgive you of your sins and give you joy in your life. When, right now, how do I know it, Reverend? I know it because I have faith in the God of the universe. And when I trust him and give him my pre-existing condition, he will restore the joy of his salvation in my life. And you know, that's something to shout about right there. Because people are running all over the world trying to find joy, peace, and happiness. But until you are reconciled in your spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter where you go or who you take with you or what you may be enjoying. There will not be that kind of pure joy that you can only have in Christ Jesus. And you know, when you recognize what the Lord has done for you, then you can have peace and happiness right by yourself. You know, I get concerned sometimes when folk can't have church until they come in a building. That I've got to have somebody all around me in order to praise the Lord. That I don't have a song unless the choir sings. But no, when you know what the Lord has done for you, when you know where the Lord has brought you from, you can be right by yourself and you can have a good time. Where there is one, yourself and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you've got church right there. And that's why the psalmist said on another occasion, when I think of his goodness and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, I thank God for saving me. Well, you see, you can't say that for me. I've got to be able to say that for myself. That when I think, and everybody in here, if you would just think, you don't have to go back 30 years. But if you just go back a day or so, if it hadn't been for the Lord on your side, you wouldn't be here tonight. You ought to give him some praise while the blood is running warm in your veins. And just think about it, how the Lord hath brought you. Oh, just think about it, how the Lord hath kept you all of these years. When you were broke, he made a way. When you were down, he lifted you up. When you were sick, he touched your body. When I think of this goodness and all that is done for me, I don't know about you, but my soul cries out, hallelujah, I thank God for saving me. Well, have you tried him? Do you have a testimony? You ought to be able to say thank you for everything. Thank you that the blood is still running warm in my veins. Thank you that I've got a roof over my head. Thank you that I've got a reasonable portion of health and strength. Thank you that I'm still clothed and in my right mind. Thank you for my going in and my coming out. Thank you for my family and my friends. Oh, thank you.